He's your voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning. Now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Looking at some of the top health news headlines this week, let's start with something that is pretty familiar to many people, Listeria. And unfortunately, the USDA just shared that some HelloFresh meals could be contaminated with Listeria. And so I thought it would be great to kind of start by just talking about, you know, maybe not in particular HelloFresh, but really a broader how you know that it could be Listeria that you're dealing with, and what are some things that we could be doing to better protect ourselves from this. So Dr. Brown, welcome back. Always appreciate having you here. Let's start with what exactly is Listeria? How do you get it? And certainly, how can you prevent having any issues with this?
Absolutely. Good morning, Melissa. So Listeria is a bacteria. And I know we always like to start with, you know, what kind of category does this land in? Is it a bacteria? Is it a fungi? Is it a virus? So this is actually a bacteria. So that's always sort of good news. Bacteria in general, if they're not producing a toxin, which this one doesn't, it can be easily killed. So being careful about what you use and how you prepare your food is really important. So Listeria kind of fits into that category, just like Salmonella. So when we talk about Salmonella, we want to make sure that your kitchen is nicely prepped, nicely cleaned, and that your food is well cooked. The same with Listeria. So that bacteria is very sensitive to heat. So we can actually eliminate it. So even if it is contaminated, it comes down to getting it, you know, bringing it into your body without sort of killing it first.
So again, this is something that kind of involves, if you will, is it like if it's undercooked, or is it something that you know that there's something tainted in the actual ingredients? Again, it doesn't have to be HelloFresh in particular, but in general, you know, how can you get Listeria, I guess, from the foods that you're consuming?
Usually it's the contaminant.
Okay.
So if you're not cooking it, so I'm less concerned about things that are going to be cooked, because the likelihood that you're going to get it from a cooked food is pretty low. It's more concerning when it's involving leafy greens like lettuce or lunch meat is notorious for having Listeria outbreaks. We haven't seen one in a while, but are particularly concerning. And then there's a certain population that is at higher risk for illness related to that. That's usually pregnant females and newborns. So those are the ones you need to be really careful about. Well, in fact, a pregnant woman who is having a child can be at risk, because it can cause any number of illnesses. In adults, it can cause a diarrheal illness. In children and people who are susceptible, can lead to a pretty bad meningitis. So
Yikes.
That's always the concern that we have. But again, it's pretty, even with the outbreaks, it's pretty rare to get a bad infection, but we have to just make sure that we're aware of it.
Okay. Switching gears, the Cleveland Clinic is weighing in on the growing popularity of creatine. It's used to enhance muscle recovery, muscle growth, and even reduce muscular fatigue. And apparently, there was a registered dietitian with the Cleveland Clinic saying creatine in powder form can be taken before, after, during a workout. And I'm curious what your thoughts are on creatine. I have certainly heard more and more about this.
Yeah, so I think the studies are still out. And I think you have to really be careful about when you use it. What I would recommend with creatine is that I would use it under, I know this is sort of a little generic, but under a physician's supervision.
No, I don't think that's generic. I think that more and more people should go back to the basics of asking their doctor before they have any enhancements or any kind of, you know, protein powder, whatever it may be. Ask your doctor.
Yeah, absolutely. Because the answer is that it's for the right people. It's the right thing to do.
Mm.
So you're not going to be taking blood pressure medication if you don't have high blood pressure,
right?
Because you can sink your blood pressure and get sicker. So that's the same thing with creatine. You need to be sure that you're taking it for the appropriate reasons. It wouldn't be something that I would say is, you know, like a multivitamin. If you are a, you know, an athlete, absolutely, recovery time, it's very helpful in kind of that recovery period of time. And there are some studies that have shown in other types of of illnesses, maybe even Alzheimer's and dementia, it may improve memory. But I would be careful about it, because if you give too much creatinine, and this is sort of the downside, too much creatinine, it has to be filtered somewhere. And you have to be really careful, because the two areas that filter are your liver and your kidneys. In particular, creatinine can be an issue in your kidneys if you have too much of it. So
well,
it could
so
hurt your kidneys. So you have to be really careful about that.
But that's exactly, to your point, Dr. Brown, that's exactly why you consult your doctor. In fact, one of the recent times you came on the show, we were talking about fatty liver disease and the fact that it's not always alcohol that's going to cause it. Sometimes it is if you're using a lot of these supplements or, again, like you're saying, some kind of enhancement or powder or whatever it is. But that's something that is now being linked to fatty liver disease as well. So that's why I always say, just consult your doctor, see if you even know all of the, you know, ingredients that you're putting in your body, how often you should take it, so on and so forth. Speaking of fatty liver, did you see there was a report that came out this week? It was out of the UK, and I don't think it's been published officially, but I know CNN Health had this, that diet soda puts you at a 60% higher risk if you have diet soda every day of having fatty liver disease. Same thing if you have sugary drinks. It's a 50% higher risk if you have it every day. Did you see that?
I did. And it's I actually do like my my diet soda every once
Do you have any issues with that? Like, has that come up for you before? Because I had that concern when I was reading this, and for me, I don't drink coffee, as you know, but I do like to have one Celsius or one Alani a day. Now, that's not a diet soda or a sugary drink, but I know there are things in it, and I'm curious if that is going to lead to an issue down the road.
Yeah, you know what, and this is the problem is that I think we all know it is, and I can explain to you sort of, this is sort of the way I see it, and just so we're clear, it hasn't stopped me, but, you know.
I love your honesty. This is why people love you, Dr. Brown. You're the doctor. You're like, I'm not going to tell you not to do it because I'm doing it. I love that.
So the thing is that if you look at it and you look at what are you putting into your body, you're putting into a synthetic, you know what? And it's interesting because people think, well, a synthetic, what's a synthetic going to do? Well, a synthetic, depending on what it is, if it's a sugar, for example, it's not going to break down, but your body's still going to use it. And that becomes sort of the issue. So let me give you a really simple example is when I was back in college, I used to work with bacteria, surprise, surprise. And one of the things that I did with bacteria is I would change their food source, and I'd give them different types of food sources. And what I found is that you can give them different types of food sources. Again, there's obviously broken down molecules, but giving them different types of food sources, you can have them continue to live. So how I translate that to an adult is if you have different types of sources of food, of energy, which is actually in these diet drinks, different sites of energy, the bacteria in your gut will actually use those as their energy source and live, and it makes these weird mutated bacteria. And we're always talking about microbiomes and making sure we take care of our microbiomes and making sure that we're processing the micronutrients. And if we're giving it synthetics, it's probably not getting the right micronutrients in us. So,
Yeah, that's something to really think about. It's that time of the week where we check in with all the top health news trending across America, including here in Connecticut, with Dr. Fred Brown, who's our peace of mind in the medical field. So really quick, Dr. Brown, if I heard you correctly, obviously keep consulting with your doctors, obviously keep checking,
right,
doing your,
right,
you know, your annual visits, but you're still having your Diet Coke.
Yeah, I still have my Coke Zero fan.
Okay. Listen, I just want to make sure I'm in good company. I would never suggest to people what I wouldn't do for myself, but I'm not going to lie to people and tell them I'm going to quit having my one pre-workout drink a morning. Because listen, your girl's got to get up. She's got to do this show. And
that's
I don't
right.
drink coffee, so I need something, okay?
And I will tell you, my wife, who's also a physician, has her Celsius in the morning, too. So
okay, thank you. Well, I'm glad I'm in good company. Good.
Between the two of the rest of us.
I appreciate it. All right, cool. Another study that came out, which was really interesting to me, inhalers, the type used for treating respiratory ailments like asthma, are apparently releasing large amounts of greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. Did you see this?
I did.
What is up with this?
It's actually crazy. It kind of goes with the burping cows.
What? Nope, I don't know anything about that. What are you talking about? Is that a real thing? What?
So, you know, the cows that belch and flatulence cause greenhouse gas. You've heard that. That's actually a true story.
I've not read that. I'm sorry, yeah. But I believe you.
One of the ways to be healthier as a vegetarian is not only is it a good diet to have, but reducing the amount of meat means that there's reduced greenhouse gas and reduce and the amount of resources that are used in the world.
Got it.
Because it takes a lot to make a cow.
Right.
It doesn't take as much to make a carrot.
Got it.
So, so this is sort of along those same. So I'm not going too much off a tangent. I'm going to bring it back. So because there is, aerosolized, there's ways to aerosolize it, which are relatively, healthy for humans. I mean, there's not an issue with humans. The problem is that it can harm the ozone layer. So that's the concern of what we're seeing. There has been some changes with the inhalers that we've used to try to use different inhalers and different aerosolization to allow that to happen. But you can imagine that when you do use a breather, an inhaler, what happens is you have to be able to suspend the medicine in a pressurized tube and have a compound in there that'll actually allow it to go in there. And that's unfortunately what we've been using. So we use something called HFA. So it actually will end up having those pieces there. And their concern is that what kind of gas is that releasing into the air?
Yeah, because this was pretty significant. This new study we're talking about found that the inhalers that we're discussing contain these propellants that apparently create emissions equal to more than 500,000 cars every year.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah. It's,
wow.
And I think, and we're using more and more. And it's,
sure.
And it's also sort of an even more concerning is that one of the reasons why we have to use inhalers is because of the pollutants from cars. So
I was just going to say, basically what's interesting is that the inhaler is to help us with respiratory issues, but they're sort of also not helping us with respiratory issues, creating
correct.
Them,
yeah.
Right? Interesting.
That is the concern. So it is, yeah, so you end up having that. It contributes to global warming, and then therefore things don't clear, and, we don't have respiratory issues. We have skin issues, too, because the sun's too hot. But, yeah.
We are humans for a reason. We are. I mean, listen, we were made imperfect at the core, and we are just proving that over and over sometimes, I think, to myself. Okay.
The good thing about these studies, Melissa, is that when they do come out and they get published and they get into the popular press, this does put pressure onto scientists, I'll say, and not even big pharma, but it puts pressure on scientists to look for alternatives. And
true.
How do we make sure that this is safer, and how do we make those changes? So I can imagine that's already happening.
I mean, to that point, Dr. Brown, you're right. I mean, I look at, for example, the screens and how much data has come out about the impact of kids being exposed to screens so early on, and so many families who, and I'd say even an older generation to some extent, kind of knocking, how could you ever let a kid in? I think to myself, well, I know myself growing up 30 plus years ago. There were no screens. I had typing classes in middle school. There were no screens. So why would those studies have come out? But now that they are coming out, because screens have become so relevant in the last 20 years, that's why, to your point, we're trying to get ahead of, all we could do is do better every time we find something out.
Absolutely.
And finding alternatives to it. So I agree.
Absolutely.
With you on that. I'm with you on that.
So Tab becomes Diet Coke. becomes
right.
Coke Zero.
Right. And then, eventually, I guess, we're back to still drinking our diet sodas and our energy drinks.
We're back to drinking water.
Oh, man.
Water.
Eventually, we'll make it easier for ourselves, I tell you. Dr. Brown, I thank you, though, for always bringing, again, peace of mind when it comes to medical studies and new facts that come out each and every week. We appreciate that we can break them down with you here on the show. So I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Melissa.
All right. We'll talk again next week. That is Dr. Fred Brown, Griffin Health, here on Melissa in the Morning.